Armed American Radio listeners, today's Armed American Radio's recorded version of the national radio broadcast, the Armed American Radio podcast, is being brought to you today and every day by North American Arms. Make sure to visit NorthAmericanArms.com for the finest mini revolvers on planet Earth. NorthAmericanArms.com. Enjoy the show.
Is Armed American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Carr Firearms Group studio
at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center
on the Sig Sauer Platinum microphone.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance. X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Walters. Walters.
And here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of Armed American Radio begins right now. Hour one in the bag. Welcome to the Carr Firearms Group studios here at the Patriot Mobile Communication Center. This Sig Sauer mic is powered up for you right now on hundreds of radio stations around the nation. It's great to have you with us live today across the country and around the world, for that matter. X Insurance is presenting it all. If you want to watch the program, you can do so as long as you're not driving by visiting armedamericanradio.com, and you can click the Watch Live button. If you are driving, click Listen Live. You got Bluetooth on your phone. You can listen in your car anywhere around the country or tune in on one of hundreds of great radio stations carrying this broadcast now. In its 15th year, we've been banging it out for 15 years. April 26 marks our 15th year anniversary. Incredible stuff. Proud to be doing it with you every single week on Armed American Radio's MonsterCast. Wow, great hour in the last one. Ooh, the last one was good. Amanda Hardin doing great work in Colorado. They got their work cut out for them. We'll continue the conversation about Colorado and wherever else we're going to go with our next guest, Ryan Petty, Parkland Dad down in Florida. Ryan, welcome to the show, my friends. Always a pleasure to have you here, brother.
Hey, Mark, it's good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing wunderbar. I'm doing wonderful, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you for stepping in. Also, I want to point out, ladies and gentlemen, Neil McCabe was unable to make the roundtable today, so Ryan is going to fill in for Neil in the third hour of the program as well. So it's going to be it's always a raucous roundtable, and it's always fun when you jump in. Ryan, I want to start. I'll just go to some politics here. Because Biden administration was talking last week, I hopped on this bandwagon on the weekday show on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, but the Biden administration gaslighting Americans saying that Florida is in play, that they think they can flip Florida, to which I laughed out loud, literally cracked up when I read that, because, again, they're just telling people, they're just lying to people. It's at this point, it almost doesn't even make any sense. But Fox had a piece up this afternoon, 12:23 p.m. it hit when I got my alert. Florida no longer in play as a swing state as GOP voters surge over Dems by nearly 900,000. Ryan, where's the disconnect here?
Well, you know, it may have to do with something that, you know, one of the initiatives that'll be on the ballot this November is medical marijuana, I think, or legalization of marijuana. And I think the Dems are hoping their core constituency comes out for that. But they're a complete and total disconnect here. So Florida is not in play. I think there's two things that will be on the ballot in November. One is the legalization of marijuana that I mentioned. The second is that the Florida Supreme Court is allowing the issue of an abortion ban to go onto the voters and to be voted on in November. And so those two things really energized the Florida Democrats into thinking that they were going to be able to turn out voters that would normally just stay home. Because let's be honest, Democrats are not even Democrats aren't excited about Joe Biden or a second term of the Joe Biden administration. So they were really facing an uphill battle, an enthusiasm gap that would probably have seen a lot of those Democrats stay home. So what they're hoping are those two issues will drive their hardcore core constituency to the polls. But as you noted, Florida has, since Governor DeSantis took office, in 2018, we've gone, I think, from somewhere between 200 or 300,000 fewer Republican registered voters than Democrats to now, you know, almost 900,000. And maybe by November, it'll be 1 million more Republicans registered. This is not the Florida of the 2000, you know, Al Gore race. This is not the Florida of the, you know, the Barack Obama era. This is a completely red Florida.
Yeah, you know, there's a huge paradigm shift. And as you know, I lived in Tampa for many years. When I left there in 05, Florida was turning blue. Hillsborough County voted red where I lived the entire time I lived there. When I left, Hillsborough flipped blue. Hillsborough has flipped back red, and I believe Pinellas County has as well. And what's interesting to me is that shift and how that shift occurred. Of course, DeSantis' policies were very popular and still are. And now you have a lot of people fleeing red states. Florida used to see a lot of New York plates. But a lot of those New York plates in Southeast Florida were Democrat voters. That's flipped. You've got a lot of conservatives now that are saying, that's it. I've had it. I'm done. I'm done living here. I'm not going to put up with this any longer. Now they're fleeing in droves, and that's where the shift occurs in Florida. I'm hopeful that the same thing happens in Arizona, and boy, wouldn't it be nice to see Colorado go through that shift again as well. Hopefully it happens, but one never knows. It'll be fun to watch. So my question for you here, let's take this to guns, because the Biden administration, as we've talked about before, is doubling and tripling down, approaching a national election against the grain. Normally that doesn't happen. Normally they back off of gun control about this time and move to the center. They are not doing that, and they are not backing off on gun control. So if the Biden administration believes, as they said just last week, that Florida can be flipped, are they pushing gun control in Florida? And if not, why not, if that's their big national issue?
Again, I'm not a political operative, and this is just my speculation as much as anything, Mark, but I will go back to what I said a moment ago. I don't think there are a lot of Democrats that are excited about a second Biden term. And so what they're doing, what I believe they're doing, is they're going back to their core issues, right? Let's get the base. We got to get the base out, right? The base isn't excited about Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So they've got to go to these really progressive issues. They're staying far left of where they should be right at this point. They should have a general election message. They're still talking to their primary voters, trying to get them out of their mom's basement and to the polls in November. So that's what I see happening. Again, sample size of one, that's my view. I could be wrong.
No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. And it's a sense. I'm just curious if you're seeing any gun control ads being run by the Democrat National Committee in Florida right now. Is that part of their message? Have they even mentioned it in Florida at all yet?
You know, Mark, I don't remember the last time I watched broadcast TV. I do appointment TV for the most part. So I have not seen any ads. What I do see on social media is, you know, an attempt to go after Rick Scott's seat. The Dems are spending a bunch of money there. I welcome them spending, you know, wasting dollars on trying to get their issues passed in Florida. I think they'll go down in flames. But I'll tell you, if they spend money in Florida, it means they're not spending it somewhere else. Yeah, somewhere else where they might win, right? So they're not going to win in Florida. Go ahead, Dems. Spend your money here. Do whatever, you know, foolish things you're going to do. You're going to lose anyway. Florida is red, but please spend your dollars here instead of spending it in some purple state.
Yeah, this is going to be a fascinating national election to watch in a state like Florida. You know that? To see the shift, because Florida's always been very close. We all could divide Florida really easily. You know, Panhandle's always been bright red. The I-4 corridor has been fairly purple over the years. Southeast Florida has been bright blue, a sea of blue down there, surrounded by red. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in November in Florida with the voter rolls, as we're talking about right now. Because you just mentioned 900,000. Guys, it's likely going to be over 1 million by the time the election gets here. And you're right. Are they going to spend any money in Florida if what they are talking about is true? You would think they would. They would be wasting their money, just like they'd be wasting money in California because they know California is blue. They're not going to spend a bunch of money there. So without, and I'm not even convinced, Ryan, that Biden's going to be on the ticket. I'm still not convinced he's going to be on that ticket. I could be wrong about that, but take us to the break with that. You think he's even on the ticket in November?
He's clearly having cognitive issues. He's not the person I think 90% of the country would want to have that 3 a.m. phone call. You know, he's not the guy you want taking the call at 3 a.m. saying, hey, Mr. President, there's an issue that we need to resolve. So, you know, will the Dems try to do a switcheroo? So far, they've appeared to be backing Biden. And you know what? My theory on this is he's a guy they can control. They can send him out. They wind him up and he'll say whatever they want him to say.
And sometimes bumble it all up and we get a good soundbite out of it. Ryan Petty stays with us for the hour. We'll be back on the flip side of this break, ladies and gentlemen, in 4 minutes. You're on the Armed American Radio Network here in the Carr Firearms Group studios with me. Back right after this. Segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Don't forget to use the promo code AAR at MyPillow.com. Welcome back. Yeah, welcome back indeed. Carr Firearms Group Studios with me. Mark Walters filling your prescription for freedom on hundreds of radio stations around the nation live right now. 6 hour mic tuned up for you. Patriot Mobile Communication Center, X Insurance, presents it all every single day. We wouldn't be here without them. We thank them very much. Great company, X Insurance. .com. We're talking with Ryan Petty. Let's continue the conversation. Ryan, I want to stay in Florida for just a moment because there's a couple issues going on. First off, 18 to 20-year-olds in Florida. There's a movement in Florida to do what? Bring me up to speed.
Well, there's been a push the last couple of years, didn't get very far, but to restore the rights of 18 to 20 18 to 20 year olds to be able to buy long guns again. Post Parkland, one of the compromises that was required to get the Parkland school safety bill passed in Florida was to bring some Democrats on board and a couple of things that they wanted. You're very familiar with, Mark. One was a red flag law, and the second was to raise the age for long gun purchases to be the same as handguns. And with those two concessions, I'll say we, because I was advocating for this at the time. We made those two changes. There have been pushes now to lower that age back down to 18. I support that and have made my opinion clear to Florida's legislators. It just hasn't happened the last couple of sessions. For whatever reason.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is AWR wrote a piece, the FBI, and I talked about it on The Daily Show last week, ladies and gentlemen, but FBI now conducting non-instant background checks for 18 to 20-year-olds in compliance with 2022 gun control law. That would be the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which, thank you again, John Cornyn, for working with the gun grabbers as a Republican. We do really appreciate that very much. Texas fixed that problem. But the FBI... Ryan, is now conducting background checks on 18 to 20-year-olds would-be gun purchasers that, and I quote AWR, that are a far cry from the instant background checks that have been conducted on gun purchasers since the 90s. Because the new NICS requirement for young adults, ladies and gentlemen, let me make this clear, 18 is an adult, now requires NICS to go beyond the routine for under 21 buyers. In addition to running names through NICS databases, a select group of examiners is, and that's always scary, Ryan, when you have a select group of examiners in the federal government, now reaching out to state juvenile justice, mental health, and local law enforcement agencies to see if their backgrounds contain potentially disqualifying information that isn't in the databases automatically queried by NICS. Another provision in the new law, this is from the FBI I'm quoting here, ladies and gentlemen, extends where cause to do so is established, the time examiners have to investigate under 21 cases from 3 to 10 business days, Ryan. What is it in Florida? As have they lost their rights? They've lost their rights to purchase long guns.
They've lost
until 20.
Correct. You have to be 21 to purchase a handgun or a long gun in the state of Florida. However, it is not illegal to possess a long gun if you're under 21.
You just can't buy it.
Correct.
So I guess being an adult at 18 isn't is Florida considered 18-year-olds adults? Can 18-year-olds still start businesses, get married, file bankruptcy, get charged as adults?
Die in a war?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely, Mark. And this is the thing that I've evolved over the last several years. So the reason it was done was because the juvenile justice system and the adult justice system, there's really not a lot of communication there. And as you know, many juveniles are quite violent, and they end up, some of them are charged as adults, others are charged as juveniles, and their records, and again, arguably this is a overall good thing. You know, you sort of get, kind of get, when you become an adult, you, all that stuff you did as a kid kind of goes away, right? And the concern was at the time is that there are a lot of these just now adults, right? Just kids just turning 18 that have a violent past that would be eligible to purchase a firearm. And so here's what makes me so angry about it now when I think about it. So because two entities of government can't communicate, can't get their act together, or we can't agree as a society that violent juveniles should not be able to buy firearms, right? They should be disqualified when they turn 18. We have, rather than fixing that problem, we just eliminate the right for 18 to 21 year olds in Florida because it was easier. This is what makes me so angry about it. It was easier at the time to take away the rights of every 18 to 20 year old than it was to fix the problem.
Okay.
And I that is emblematic of so many failures of government. When we talk about these school attacks, we talk about targeted violence, and we even talk about terrorism, the history of all of those events are histories of the failure of government to connect the dots, to share information, and to act on that information. And because government is incompetent, we, the people, vote or our representatives vote to take away our rights rather than making government competent. And that's the irony of the whole situation in my mind. It infuriates me now. And I think 18 to 20 year olds in Florida need to have their rights restored as quickly as we can get it through the legislature. And then we have to fix the problem of what do you do with violent juveniles that should not be allowed to purchase a firearm when they turn 18.
Here's a suggestion. Lock them up. Now, I want to make a point here because you just nailed that. In the way you phrased it, I don't think I've heard you phrase it that way before. Essentially, what you just said was because government can't fix a problem, because government is inept, we're going to screw every adult in our state by taking away their rights between 18 and 20 years old. So every good kid, which is the majority of kids, let's be honest, is now unable to exercise a constitutional right because of the actions of bad kids and the failure of government to fix that problem. And isn't that, as y'all use your word, emblematic of what the Democrats want to do across the board, is take away everybody's rights? We've got 30 seconds, so I'll just stop there and let you take us to the break.
I mean, the theme for the Democrat Party should be, or their slogan should be, govern me harder, baby, because that's what they want. They want to be governed. I've never seen a group of people, and we saw this in the pandemic, and it was so obvious. They want to be governed. Tell me to wear a mask. Tell me to stay home. Tell me I have to stand 6 feet apart from somebody else. Take away my firearms rights. govern me harder, baby. That should be the Democrat slogan.
I think, Ryan, I think you're on to something. And I think if you put that out in a tweet, it might get some viral legs. Ryan Petty continues with us for the next two segments and stays with us through the roundtable. Don't go away. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Daniel Defense firearms are guaranteed for life, trusted worldwide, and designed, engineered, and manufactured right here in America. Daniel Defense, freedom, passion, precision.
Defense is freedom, passion, and precision. The individual that I'm talking to, Ryan Petty, has been to Daniel Defense with me and saw it firsthand and got to put that fully auto in his paws over there at Daniel Defense. It was an awful lot of fun. Welcome back to the Carr Firearms Group Studios. Sig Sauer Mike fired up for you. And Patriot Mobile Command Center lit up for you. We're going to play an audio clip here from Santa Rosa County, Florida, Sheriff Bob Johnson. Ryan, welcome back. Do you know Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson by any chance? I know you know a lot of law enforcement there in Florida.
I don't know him personally, but I'd sure like to meet him.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, he's right there in the vein of Grady Judd with some of his comments. And some of them resurfaced about 7 to 10 days ago on a tweet. And his comments from 2022. I'm going to play those comments. Take a listen to this and let me get your thoughts on what we hear. Because the sheriff made it very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, what he thinks you should do if someone kicks in your door at night. Here we go.
Person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday, and if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save the taxpayers money.
That's a beautiful thing, Ryan. That's music to my ears. I love to hear that stuff.
I've got the biggest smile on my face right now, Mark, if you could see it.
I can hear it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you save the taxpayers on the investigation. You save the taxpayers on, you know, booking them into the jail. You save the public defender that they inevitably get. You save the incarceration, the cost of incarceration. I mean, look, somebody's breaking into your home. They're there at a minimum to steal from you. More likely, they're there to do you harm, as we know. And so it's very clear in the state of Florida. I don't think there's a sheriff, even in the bluer counties. And I would say, I'm not sure how many blue counties we have anymore. Broward's always probably going to be blue, but you know, right, like you said, Hillsborough and Pinellas are red now. Even in those counties, the sheriffs are very clear. Somebody's breaking into your home. You have the right to defend yourself, and they are not going to prosecute you. So, you know, if I'm a burglar, if I'm somebody that needs to break into a house or wants to break into a house in the state of Florida, I think I might move. Maybe I think to California
or New York or something, right?
Illinois.
Go to Jersey.
Yeah, go somewhere else where you. I mean, if you're going to play Russian roulette, play it somewhere where you got better odds. The house always wins in Florida.
Well, let me ask you a question. What is it about the left and the anti-gun crowd, the anti-gun establishment? What problem do they have with that? And why do they? I almost said a bad word. Why do they complain and moan when a sheriff says something like that, which is just straight up American?
Well, because the progressive wing of the Democrat Party has decided that in order to control us to improve their power, that they're going to divide us, right? And so they've created this notion of oppressors and oppressed. And obviously, Mark, if you're living in a home behind a front door, you're an oppressor, and that person coming into your home is the oppressed. And so, you know, you shouldn't you shouldn't harm somebody that's clearly been oppressed by a systemically racist society or a systemically oppressive society that has put that person, regardless of their race or whatever, but has put them in that situation through no fault of their own. It's capitalism, Mark. Capitalism caused that person to break into your home and to take your things. And that's what they've taught their voting bloc for years now. And unfortunately, that means you don't have the right to defend yourself because you're attacking somebody that is, through no fault of their own, breaking into your home to level the playing field in their view.
You know, I've said this before many times over the years, Ryan. I don't understand the man who possesses no means to defend himself nor his family. I don't understand that man. Not in America, I don't understand that man. Maybe I understand that person in a, I don't know, European nation, but I don't understand it here. It's what America is made of. We all have a castle doctrine, and this goes, I mean, we go all the way back to the Magna Carta, for crying out loud. We go back thousands of years with castle doctrine law. And you know, this is a topic where I'm going to bring up in the roundtable, but I'll bring it up with you now, too, because you're going to participate. And I'm looking forward to hearing Justin's comments and Brad's comments on this as well. But that reminds me now of the squatter situation that you're reading about a lot, ladies and gentlemen, squatters, which is, Ryan, something I'm going to have to ask for your assistance with because I don't understand it. You squat in my house, I'm going to shoot you. It's as simple as that. I come home and you're in my home, I'm going to shoot you. And I will have the means to do that. And I will have the law on my side. I don't understand this whole squatter thing. How does that work? Now, I know DeSantis just signed a bill to fix that problem in the great state of Florida because none of us outside can understand. Why is this even an issue? How is that not breaking and entering to begin with when it isn't your property?
Yeah, I've seen the news reports recently, and I've got friends back in Seattle. Some of them have alerted me to this. They're dealing with there's a very famous guy that has taken over a home. He'd been there for 2 years. And this was strange because these were two racial minorities. The homeowner was a minority and the squatter was a minority. And so there was sort of an oppressed Olympics going on here, a hierarchy of who's more oppressed. And I'll tell you, I don't understand who's lower on the hierarchy in that regard. But the fact remains is the guy owned his home and this guy was squatting in it and hadn't paid rent for 2 years. And it was so bad that the gentleman that was squatting is Korean, and the Korean community was so embarrassed by this guy that they came out to picket in front of this house to try to shame him to leave that home. Now, that was in Seattle. Now, in New York, we saw a lady that confronted some squatters.
Got arrested.
And law enforcement arrested her because the squatter has more rights in the state of New York than the homeowner. Look, that lady, as soon as she can legally get those people out of that house, she needs to sell that home and move to Florida where that'll never happen to her again.
I'm telling you, minority Olympics going on there, the oppressed Olympics. That was great. Oh, yeah. We've got a couple good drops from Ryan today that you're going to hear back to back with AWRs, no doubt about it. But yeah, that was a good one. I don't understand that. That's breaking and entering. That's a crime. It's a crime everywhere. So I really have a hard time wrapping my head around that. I cannot fathom how that can occur in America and how this, we'll go back to the woman in New York you mentioned. She went to change the locks on her property and was arrested for doing so.
Yeah.
Look, if I want to take a 1 year vacation, I can do that. And my home, when I come home, it's still my home. I don't get it.
Yeah,
right.
Not in the state of New York, Mark. I believe if you're gone for 21 days, if you haven't noticed that somebody's in your home, and I think it's 21 days, if I'm not mistaken, in the state of New York, they're there. And you have to go through an eviction process, which favors the squatter. Look, historically, were there bad landlords that did bad things? Absolutely. But the notion of property rights has been flipped on its head in blue states to the point now that it is impossible to get somebody off of your property in any kind of timely manner. It's just, it boggles the mind. It only makes sense to progressives.
Here's the advice for you. If you're a blue state Democrat that likes to go be a snowbird, don't go to Florida. You'll be there over 21 days. Just stay out. Florida's red. You won't like it there anyway. We'll be back. One more segment with Ryan Petty before the roundtable. The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/AAR and use the AAR promo code to get free activation today. Welcome back. Yeah, you should do that, ladies and gentlemen. I got Patriot Mobile going on right here at the studio, patriotmobile.com. You can do, almost dropped my Patriot Mobile over there too. There you go, patriotmobile.com/AAR. Use that AAR promo code and bam, pow, zam, whammo, you get free activation like I did, and you've got Patriot Mobile, and you're supporting a business that actually uses your dollars to support your lifestyle and your right to bear arms. A lot more conservative values than that, but for the purposes of this show, we'll focus there. But they support your Second Amendment rights. Visit the website, patriotmobile.com/AAR, and check it out. Call them. The process was simple. Made a phone call. What I needed showed up next day, FedEx. I activated it right here in front of this microphone live last week on the airwaves. Patriot Mobile is now busting out at the ranch. You can do it too. You can. You can do it. PatriotMobile.com. And also visit all of our partners. Don't forget Mike Lindell over at MyPillow. He's got that huge $25 extravaganza going on. I do not know how much longer this is going to go. I've asked for a date. They don't know however long he wants to run it. But right now, $25 gets you some of the MyPillow slippers, gets you some of the pillows, including the king-size pillows, gets you the sheet sets and everything else going on over there. And if you spend $75, which you likely will, you'll get free shipping. And you can do it all and support your right to bear arms at MyPillow.com/Armed American Radio. Support Mike. He's been supporting you on this program for over a decade. It's a remarkable run. Support these people, all of the businesses that you see at Armed American Radio. We've got you covered. You can clean your guns with Barrel Buddy. You can buy ammo from PTM Ammunition. You can train over there with WAF, somebody Ryan Petty knows very well. You can build your goat guns, goatguns.com. You can shop at armslist.com. You can burn a fire and cook wood with cutting-edge firewood. You get emergency supplies at Heaven's Harvest. X Insurance covers everything. Oh, just a cornucopia of cool stuff. Ryan Petty, welcome back, brother. Welcome back, my friend.
Good to be back. Quite a list of sponsors, Mark. Amazing stuff.
And some great ones, man. The companies are just phenomenal. And let's not forget crossbreedholsters.com. Good heavens, man. The best of the best. I've got a gun sitting right here in a crossbreed holster in the studio with me right now, defending me as we bring you Armed American Radio across the country on hundreds of radio stations. Crossbreedholsters.com, don't forget them. We could talk about partners and make great content all day because they've got so much cool stuff going on. Ryan, Martin in the chat, I saw during the break, asked a question. He said, Castle Doctrine, can you shoot your way into your own house just like you can resist invaders coming in? And I'll take a stab at this. Yeah, of course you can. If you're coming back from the grocery store and find intruders in your home, there goes Mr. Muzzle Flash, okay, as I go into my home. Yeah, and I'm going to guess that Sheriff Bob Johnson and other great sheriffs down there in Florida like Kurt Hoffman and Wayne Ivey and Bob Galtieri and others, and I would not normally have put Bob in that list, but he has really, really stepped up to the plate in Pinellas County. We're proud of what he's done over there supporting gun rights. And, of course, Grady Judd and many, many others. But, yeah, you can, right? But wouldn't you if you were coming into your home? It's still a home invasion, right?
I think they're on your property. And if you're in fear for your life, absolutely. I think it's a great question. You want to be careful, obviously. I think the reason Martin asked it, it's a really good question. But I think, yeah, you walk in on an intruder, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, look, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to retreat in the state of Florida. I don't have to retreat here, and it's my own home. So be careful, squatters. This is something I just don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever because I like reading the stories. To me, those are happy ending stories. Let's see. 32 people shot during Easter weekend in Brandon Johnson's Chicago. We know Chicago's a mess. We're not going to go there with you. We'll talk about that in the roundtable. But and you're an FFL, and I'm sure you know this, but just last week, March 2024, marked, Ryan, the 56th consecutive month of more than 1 million gun sale background checks. Now, as an FFL, I'm going to guess the percentage of purchases on that. You know, you're probably in the 95% because that's the best that we have to mark purchases is those background checks, correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding that they've, like the National Shooting Sports Foundation has figured out a way to sort of look at the number of background checks and figure out how many of those are new gun purchases. So, yes, that's the best data we've got.
Are you surprised by 56 consecutive months of over a million checks, month after month after month, and it's showing no sign of decreasing that I can see anyway?
Yeah, I mean, I think the gun control groups are maybe the best marketers for firearms that we've got. I mean, look, every gun company is going to have, you know, we've got this kind of, you know, firearm with these features and functionalities, or we're, you know, these kind of people, these, you know, operators and tactical guys, they like our guns. But just the notion of having or purchasing a firearm to protect your home, like we were talking about, or protect yourself, protect your family, the gun control groups and Democrats have done an amazing job since the back Summer of Love days, right? You'll remember those, of reminding Americans that we live in an imperfect world. We live in a world that is not necessarily safe. You were making this point earlier. Regardless of where you are on this planet, you are not guaranteed to be safe. And whether it's from another individual, which is the issue that we have in free countries like the United States, or whether it's a tyrannical government, you're subject to bad guys doing bad things. And the only way you have, and our founders understood this, to protect yourself is to be armed. And not only do you have a right, Mark, you were going here earlier, and I agree with you. Not only do you have a right to do it, I think you have a duty to do it. As a free citizen, you have a duty to protect yourself, your family, your loved ones, but also your community. And we've gotten away from that, right? We've outsourced that to law enforcement. We've outsourced that to government to keep us safe. And as I said at the top of the hour, you look at any of these tragedies, terrorism, school shootings, the garbage going on in Chicago you just mentioned, these are failure of government to protect citizens. And the idea that you can outsource that, and people have to realize Brandon Johnson's not going to solve that problem in Chicago. That officer that's 7 minutes away from your kid's school isn't going to get there in time to stop that shooting. The FBI is going to fail to act on tips for the next terrorism plot. Mm-hmm. The Biden administration is allowing terrorists to walk freely into the country. You talk about squatters. My goodness, we've got millions of people coming across our border through the front door.
Great analogy.
Walking right in, and we're inviting them in and saying, hey, come on in. Why don't you stay a while, right? Now,
yeah, and here's a phone and some money. Hey, Ryan, I need you to hold on to that thought. I do want to go there. In fact, I just wrote that down, the squatters coming into the country. But when we come back in the roundtable, I'm going to do something interesting, guys. I'm going to read a couple of stupid leftist memes relative to your right to bear arms. And we're going to get the commentary from the group. And these are mind-boggling. These people believe what's out there. They put this up on Twitter. I couldn't let this one go. So we're going to talk about this coming up in the next hour. You're going to love this. Armed American Radio's MonsterCast continues 6 minutes after for the roundtable. Don't go away.
You've
just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.